If you pay much attention to the news at all in the last week or so, the UN gathered together and there was all kinds of reports about that. And the biggest thing seemed to be that President Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority was going to petition and ask for a vote for formal Palestinian statehood. And there was a lot of diplomatic activity going on about that, because that's not an easy thing to accomplish. Certainly these are interesting times, and the pages of Scripture really coming to fulfillment right before our very eyes. So wanted to share with you some things along that line. Let me start not with the Palestinians, but with something that I don't think has received a whole lot of press, but about a new Soviet leader. Vladimir Putin was president of the Soviet Union before, and he has stated that he will officially run for the president in March of 2012. Soviet presidents are elected for a six-year term, and they can serve two terms. It has been said that it will be it's predicted that it will be a landslide victory for Vladimir Putin. He's the one that in his speech, in his rhetoric, he's vehemently anti-Western, anti-America, anti-Israel, those kinds of things. But he's the one that likes to run around driving sports cars and fast motorcycles and taking beefcake pictures, you know, that kind of stuff, and acting very Western. So it's kind of interesting to hear him be so anti-Western and yet act so much that way. Most importantly, he's very, very friendly with Iran and with other radical Islamic allies as well. So it makes for a fairly dangerous situation to have a leader of Russia so anti-Western, so close to Iran and to other radical Islamists, wanting to become the next czar of Russia, and most likely would be in power for about 12 years. So it can cause some incredible challenges for not just the United States, but the Western world and much of the rest of the world as well. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. And this morning, I'm really just kind of hitting some highlights for a number of reasons, but time being one of them. Ezekiel chapter 38, I put in parentheses on your outlines, Ezekiel 36 to 39. And sometime if you want to read through those chapters, Ezekiel really lays out a lot of end time events that are going to take place. And he especially talks about Gog and Magog. And I think technically it's a long O, it should be Gog and Magog, but that just sounds weird. So we normally say Gog and Magog. Nations far north of Israel, it talks about a huge invasion of those armies coming down against Israel when she was at peace and fairly defenseless. And obviously, that fits into so much of what Scripture says about all nations being gathered together against Israel. And with Putin probably becoming president, we just see that likelihood or that possibility as being, you know, that much more real. I want to read verses 14 through 18 of Ezekiel 38. It says there, "Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In that day when my people Israel are living in safety, will you not take notice of it? You will come from your place in the far north, you and many nations with you, all of them riding on horses, a great horde, a mighty army. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Are you not the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel? At that time, they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord." So Ezekiel, they're really just kind of summarizing the fact that Gog and Magog, what we believe to be Russia in those areas, coming against Israel, many nations allied with them, arousing the hot anger of God. You know, all according to plan, but saying that, they would come and it will be catastrophic. If you look at, chapter 39, I didn't put this on the outline, but look at chapter 39, begin with verse 11. It says, on that day I will give Gog a burial place in Israel in the valley of those who travel east toward the sea. It will block the way of travelers because Gog and all his hordes will be buried there. So it will be called the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. That's catastrophic. So many people go there, so many people die. Takes 7 months to bury them. And with modern earth-moving equipment and mass graves, that's a phenomenal statement. Okay, so incredible war to take place. This prophecy of nations gathering together to come against Israel. And if you look at a world map, and we've shared this before, but it's just interesting if you haven't done it, go to a world map and put your finger on Jerusalem and then just go straight north, and it may be off just a little bit, but almost straight north if you go far enough, you come to Moscow. Okay? It's just almost due north of, Israel or Jerusalem. So it's interesting to, see that. Let's talk about a Palestinian state. And I titled this, Should We Celebrate a Palestinian State? If the answer has to be yes or no, I think the very short answer can be no, we can have a closing prayer and go home. Not going to do that. Okay, don't get your hopes up. I saw a lot of smiles. Oh yeah! No, we're not going to do that. A lot was said in the news this past week. A lot of coverage. And if you notice, so much of the time, the news is slanted toward, wouldn't it be a great thing? Wouldn't it just be absolutely wonderful if those occupiers, Israel, would get out of the way and allow the poor, oppressed Palestinian people to finally have their own land and get back to what they had in the beginning anyway? And all that is historically incorrect, okay? And all that is terribly slanted. It wasn't quite that bad this time because of the diplomatic efforts that would be required to, do it. They were saying right off the top that if a vote like that happened, that the United States automatically would veto it and it wouldn't come about. Okay? So my answer would be, should we celebrate a Palestinian state? As the whole world is going crazy and think, oh, this is wonderful and they finally got what they deserved and there will be peace, and none of that would be true either. Okay? Because if a Palestinian state is declared or is somehow does come about, I think war will break out immediately. Okay? And it will get ugly very, very, very quickly. And so you can keep your eyes open for that. But going to the United Nations, this was kind of an end around by the Palestinian Authority. Rather than negotiating with Israel, rather than trying to work things out, as has been done repeatedly in the past, they just decided that they would politically make this move and go to the United Nations and just have the United Nations declare, okay, this land is now yours. We're declaring a formal Palestinian state. Israel, you have to go back to the 1967 borders or whatever it might be, and we've declared this state. And at that point, Israel would essentially be indefensible. And war would break out, and as I said, it would get very ugly very quickly. The Palestinians blinked. Okay? President Mahmoud Abbas did ask for that, but they did not ever seek a formal vote. Part of the reason was because they needed 9 votes on the Security Council out of 15 for that to be approved and continue the process, and they only had 8 votes. And behind the scenes, the United States was working feverishly to try and get people not to go along with that, knowing that it would really be a disaster and that it didn't need to take place in that way. The Palestinians are led by Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, which launches rockets into Israel a few hundred a day, and that very rarely gets reported. But imagine if we lived in Oregon and people, say, in Mount Morris just launch rockets into Oregon every day. Just randomly, just to see which school they might land on, you know, or which nursing home, or which whatever. That's a way of life in many of the northern regions of Israel. And it very rarely gets reported much at all, unless they hit, you know, something that's especially disastrous. The Palestinians will keep trying. They won't give up that effort. They're going to keep trying. And I can assure you that when and if they are successful, war will be the result. So much of the world has been focused on the Palestinian issue. And it is terribly slanted against Israel. I think almost ridiculously so. But that's not the way our media portrays it at all. But I really think there's a bigger danger than what can occur if the Palestinians, you know, get statehood. That would be a mess, okay, and I think go against Scripture. But the bigger danger, I really think, is Iran, okay? And at the United Nations, the leader of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and I like to just say I'm a nutcase, because he is, okay? He spoke at the United Nations. And if you saw pictures of that, I would estimate anywhere from 2/3 of the people to 3/4 of the people got up from his speech and walked out. A normal person, that would tell you something, but it didn't really seem to faze him. This is the man who, and during the speech again, and you should look it up online and read through his speech. I think the man is certifiable, and I don't mean that in a kind way. Okay? He is a nutcase. Okay? This is a man who denies the Holocaust and said that in the speech. He said that 9/11 was a United States conspiracy to bring down the Twin Towers. Okay? He blasted the United States for taking out bin Laden. Okay? He calls for a one-world government. To his credit, he doesn't really hide what he believes. And he called for, again, his belief, saying that the 12th Imam would come back and establish a one-world government and get rid of all the infidels and all that sort of stuff, and that Jesus Christ would come and help him. He's right about Jesus Christ coming back, but not with the 12th Imam. He'll come back alone because he doesn't need help. Okay? So he's right about that. I'll give him that much credit. This man says stuff that is absolutely profoundly ludicrous. It is just, it won't stick to the wall if you throw it. It is just absolutely incredible, the things that he says. And the huge concern, obviously, is that Iran is developing nuclear weapons. And they would be within striking distance of Israel. And he has stated flatly that his desire is to wipe out Israel, to wipe them off the map. And we seem to be sitting by and allowing Iran to develop those things. And if it comes to the point where Israel thinks that they need to deal with that for their own survival, I think they will do that. In Ezekiel 38:5, as part of that horde that comes down from the north and invades Israel, Persia is mentioned. That's Iran. Okay? And kind of the dirty little secret is that the Arabs don't like Iran at all. Because Iran are not Arabs, they are Persians, they're different, okay? So they don't get along either. They think Ahmadinejad is dangerous as well, but their common enemy is Israel, and so they kind of, you know, publicly applaud his efforts. But if he was taken out or Iran's nuclear things were taken out, privately they would be applauding whoever did that. Now they'll condemn the United States, they'll condemn Israel, they'll condemn whoever does it. But privately, they will be relieved because they don't really like him either, except when they're unified against Israel. Turn over to Joel chapter 3. And I want to share this just as a passage that talks about, and again related to the Palestinian state issue, it talks about dividing up the land of Israel. Okay, way back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised the land to the people of Israel. It's part of the covenant made to Abraham. It's a key part of our understanding of Scripture, that what we're going to inherit eternally is land. not sky, land. It's called the kingdom of God. It will be upon a renewed earth. Okay? In Joel chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And God expresses here his thoughts about dividing up the land, because he doesn't want it divided. It says, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Does that sound familiar? Like what we read a moment ago? There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel, for they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. Okay? So God not pleased with efforts to divide Israel. Should we celebrate a Palestinian state? God won't. The world will think it's wonderful. They'll say, oh, this is great. This is the best diplomatic effort ever. And they'll say all kinds of stuff like that. And God will be going, bad. Okay? What God thinks is good, the world so often thinks is bad. And what the world thinks is good, God so often thinks is bad. In Psalm 83, I'm not going to take time to read it. I've read it to you many times. But it talks there about the 10 nations surrounding Israel, gathering together, saying, basically, we want to wipe Israel out. We want to drive Israel into the sea so that her name be remembered no more. Okay? The issue with the Palestinians is not peace. Okay? The issue is getting rid of Israel. I put there a voice of reason, Prime Minister Netanyahu. Let me just stand over here because it will be easier. I don't like to just read to you, but let me share with you some excerpts from Netanyahu's speech at the UN this past week. I can't give Netanyahu a blanket endorsement, okay? He is not Christian. He is Jewish. He is not calling upon Jesus as Messiah. He is not calling the nation to repentance. But he is a man that I very much respect as a world leader, because he's not intimidated. He oversees a country the size of New Jersey surrounded by enemies who have expressed a desire to destroy them. He has an incredibly mature perspective about all of that. He goes to the United Nations, which has to be considered a hostile environment for him as the leader of Israel. And he just lays it out. He's not intimidated at all. He just tells them, here's how it is. Here's the truth. You listen to a nutcase like Ahmadinejad yesterday, I'm here today to tell you the truth. And let me just share a portion of what he said. And this is probably too long, but I think it's worth noting. Because again, you don't hear this stuff in the media. And you can look it up, but I think it's worth hearing. This is from the floor of the UN, okay? He says, today I hope that the light of truth will shine, if only for a few minutes, in a hall that for too long has been a place of darkness for my country. So as Israel's prime minister, I didn't come here to win applause. I came here to speak the truth. The truth is that Israel wants peace. The truth is that I want peace. The truth is that in the Middle East at all times, but especially during these turbulent days, peace must be anchored in security. The truth is that we cannot achieve peace through UN resolutions, but only through direct negotiations between the parties. The truth is that so far the Palestinians have refused to negotiate. And let me pause. Four times in history, the Palestinians have been offered everything they wanted, and they've turned it down flat. Four times. And the prime ministers that offered that were voted out every time by their own people. Palestinians don't want peace. They want Israel gone. Okay? He says, the truth is that Israel wants peace with the Palestinian state, but the Palestinians want a state without peace. And the truth is, you shouldn't let that happen. And again, he's saying this to the UN. It's great stuff. He said, it was here at the UN in 1975 that the age-old yearning of my people to restore a national life in our ancient biblical homeland, it was then that this was branded shamefully as racism. And it was here in 1980, right here, that the historic peace agreement between Israel and Egypt wasn't praised, it was denounced. And it's here, year after year, that Israel is unjustly singled out for condemnation. It's singled out for condemnation more than all the nations of the world combined. 21 out of 27 General Assembly resolutions condemn Israel, the one true democracy in the Middle East. Can you picture yourself standing before that group and laying it on them like this? He says about the UN, it's the theater of the absurd. It doesn't only cast Israel as a villain, it often casts real villains in leading roles. Gaddafi's Libya chaired the UN Commission on Human Rights. Saddam's Iraq headed the UN Committee on Disarmament. You might say that's the past. Well, here's what's happening now, right now, today. Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon now presides over the UN Security Council. This means, in effect, that a terror organization presides over the body entrusted with guaranteeing the world's security. You couldn't make this thing up. I just love it that he does that. He's saying truth is stranger than fiction. Here's what you guys allow to go on. I think the UN is just this side of worthless. He continues, a malignancy is now growing between East and West that threatens the peace of all. It seeks not to liberate, but to enslave, not to build, but to destroy. That malignancy is militant Islam. It cloaks itself in the mantle of a great faith, yet it murders Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike with unforgiving impartiality. On September 11th, it killed thousands of Americans and it left the Twin Towers in smoldering ruins. Last night, I laid a wreath on the 9/11 memorial. It was deeply moving, but as I was going there, one thing echoed in my mind. The outrageous words of the president of Iran on this podium yesterday. He implied that 9/11 was an American conspiracy. Some of you left this hall. All of you should have. That is good stuff when he just tells them flat out like that. He says the international community must stop Iran before it's too late. If Iran is not stopped, we will all face the specter of nuclear terrorism and the Arab Spring could soon become an Iranian winter. The world around Israel is definitely becoming more dangerous. Militant Islam has already taken over Lebanon and Gaza. It's determined to tear apart the peace treaties between Israel and Egypt and between Israel and Jordan. It's poisoned many Arab minds against Jews and Israel, against America and the West. It opposes, listen to this line, it opposes not the policies of Israel, but the existence of Israel. And he's exactly right. That's Psalm 83. He said, in 2000, Israel made a sweeping peace offer that met virtually all the Palestinian demands. Arafat rejected it. The Palestinians then launched a terror attack that claimed 1,000 Israeli lives. Prime Minister Olmert afterwards made an even more sweeping offer in 2008. President Abbas didn't even respond to it. But Israel did more than just sweeping offers. We actually left territory. We withdrew from Lebanon in 2000 and from every square inch of Gaza in 2005. That didn't calm the Islamic storm, the militant Islamic storm that threatens us. It only brought the storm closer and made it stronger. You know, so much for peace through land. That doesn't work. His final comment, he says, the Jewish state of Israel will always protect the rights of all its minorities, including the more than 1 million Arab citizens of Israel. I wish I could say the same thing about a future Palestinian state. For as Palestinian officials made clear the other day, in fact, I think they made it right here in New York, they said the Palestinian state won't allow any Jews in it. They will be Jew-free. That's ethnic cleansing. There are laws today in Ramallah that make the selling of land to Jews punishable by death. That's racism. And you know which laws this evokes. And he goes on and extends his hand in peace to President Abbas. But I just think, you know, some of those comments are incredibly good. And he is a leader that I think very much can be respected because Israel is in such a dangerous place. So how do we respond? The news is pretty fascinating to watch as we see the pages of Scripture really coming to fulfillment right before our very eyes. And as we see headlines in the paper that almost could be lifted directly from Scripture. First of all, I think we need to stay spiritually prepared. I don't think we can let our guard down at all. In Joel chapter 2, and verse 13, the prophet says, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, in abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. So again, we just need to be spiritually prepared, not let our guard down spiritually ever. Know that there are very real enemies, not just to the United States, but more so to our beliefs, to our Christianity, those who would do us great harm and think that they were doing that in the name of God. So we need to spiritually be prepared and be strong if times become far tougher. Secondly, I think we can share, and people need to know, the Palestinian state wouldn't be a great deal. Palestinian state under most of those conditions would be a big mistake. It would not be something that God would view favorably. We need to share that with folks and let them know why. In Psalm 40 and verse 5, it says, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." So I would say, don't worry about declaring all of them, but do declare many of them. Do declare what you know. Do share your faith in Christ. Do let people know that God has a plan and that the world can be crazy and go off in weird directions, but God has a plan, and we can very much be at peace with that and know that there is nothing that can possibly thwart God's plan from coming about. We can be very assured of that, not just with our lives, but with our eternity as well. Father, the power and the strength really is yours. You have a plan. You will bring about, and there's nothing anyone can do to prevent that. No matter how crazy they might be, no matter what kind of armaments they might have, your plan will be carried out. Lord, help us to spiritually be ready for that. Help us to be well aware of that from your word. Father, help us to share that, because a lot of people need answers. A lot of people aren't certain at all of what's going to occur and will be deceived by the world. Lord, help us to share the truth with them, because it is the truth indeed that will set them free. Father, use us in mighty ways to build your kingdom. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.